Blog Talk Radio.
I am immortal, I'll never fade away. I'm a legacy that lives beyond, far beyond the grave.
She'll be joining us next week. So it's just me and Melissa. And like I said in my post, if anybody's been following them tonight, the phone lines will be open. 323-580-5703 is the call-in number. You can call in if you have paranormal questions or want to share a paranormal experience or anything going on in the world of news as we know it right now. That's what we're gonna talk about tonight here in a minute. some things going on in the news, and also there's an interesting article that I read today in the paranormal that I wanted to talk about. So we'll talk about that. Anything else that pops into our demented heads that we decide to share? That's right. Get my promos out of the way. And we've had a lot of people liking our Facebook pages, which really helps out. So I'm going to continue doing that promo on every radio show I do because it's helping. To follow this show, Terrify Radio, we do have a Facebook page. Just go and like us. And we try to keep you posted on all of our shows. And you might even possibly be someone in the paranormal field or crypto or the UFO field and would like to be a guest. You can contact us on there. Message us, and we'll get back with you and try to book you on an upcoming show. Also, you can follow the radio, the URN Radio Network. We do 7 shows a week, every night, different show. Lots of great hosts and co-hosts on the network. We got like a huge family. One of these days, we're going to have to try to do some kind of little event with just the network folks, go investigate somewhere. Kind of hard because we're scattered so far around everybody. We'd have to try to find some kind of halfway point. You never know. But you can follow us, URN Radio Network. You can follow us on Facebook as well. I know some of the other shows, Fast Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show on Monday night. They have a Facebook page. Also, my Sunday show, the URN Radio Network. The URN Radio Show also has a Facebook page for Sunday night. And I believe Full Spectrum Radio as well has a Facebook page. So check out all those. And if you're a big Twitter person, you can follow the network at URN Radio. Every time a show is about to go on air or is on air, it sends out a link on Twitter to our Twitter page so that you can click on it and listen to the show from there. So that's pretty much it on the promos. Hopefully I'm trying to get together for maybe next Tuesday a big holiday Christmas special involving the whole network, and basically it'll be all of us acting the fool on air for your enjoyment. You know, the end of the year wrap up with the network always turns out to be some fun times, and if it's pulled off, hopefully we might even have some past guests from any of the shows come on. Matt was talking about maybe inviting some folks. So we'll see how that pans out. So look forward to that. If that does happen, you will see us post about that information as well. Tonight, we don't have a guest. So like I said, our phone lines are open. And first kind of thing I wanted to talk about is the craziness that's going on in the world right now. If anybody has kept up with news today, they saw that I think it was 142 children were killed at a school in Pakistan? I think it's Pakistan. Anyway,
sad story. Yeah.
The Pakistan Taliban. And if you don't know them, they tried to set a bomb off in Times Square back in 2010, but it got caught in time. They did this horrific thing, and they said they were doing it in retaliation of the Pakistan Army trying to shut them down, per se. In my opinion, though, These are very horrific people, for one thing, to bring children, the most innocent age group on the earth, into some dispute that they have with other adults. Hey, let's go, you know, kill these kids. And it's just a horrific, sad story. And I know that nobody over there is listening to the show, but I'd like to say my thoughts and prayers go out to all those families that lost a child today. I mean, that's a pretty sad situation. Then a couple days ago, we had Australia. Whack job went into a coffee shop, took 15 hostages. Two ended up getting shot during this 16 and a half or 17 hour melee when the special forces of Australia went in and took him out. You know, it just goes to show you any given day, you know, these black jobs can come out of nowhere. And then you have one over here in the United States that I guess in Pennsylvania killed six members of his family. And, you know, they were on a manhunt for him. So it's just, it's nutty and disturbing. There's a lot of disturbing things in the world. And like I said numerous times on the show, I'll take a spirit any day over some of the real-life people that are running around this earth right now. You know, and
yeah, me too.
Then I saw the video of a young black man getting shot in a Walmart back in August by police. Oh, hang on a second.
Cat, get out of there.
Well, I had to get my cat out from behind the TV. She has a tendency to want to go back there and play with the wires. Okay. But, yeah, I was watching it right before the show came on. No one was really aware of this. But they showed the surveillance video of this black guy. He apparently picked up an airsoft assault rifle off the shelf and was kind of carrying it around Walmart. And it looks like a real assault rifle. And somebody in the store called 911. They came in, and they didn't even really give the gentleman time to respond. It was like 1 second into having vocal contact with him, they shot him dead. But if you see on the video, he puts the rifle down, he goes one direction, and then all of a sudden he turns back around and starts to go back down the aisle towards the assault rifle, and that's when they shot him. So, but then they find out it's a, you know, gun he picked up off the shelf. It's not a real gun. And the police officer was white. So there you go. Another story of that, which, without getting too controversial, because anytime you talk about race and color, it's going to offend someone or get somebody riled up. That's why I kind of stay away from those type issues. But I will say this, you know, I there is a two-way street when it comes to police officers. Number one, if you don't comply with what they tell you to do, you're not only putting their life in jeopardy, you're putting yourself. So rule of thumb is if a police officer tells you to do something, you just do it. If they're going to arrest you, if they tell you you're under arrest, then you're getting arrested. It doesn't matter if you take off running, resist arrest, or whatnot. Once they tell you you're under arrest, they're going to arrest you no matter what. So you might as well cooperate and then get you a good lawyer and see what you can do after the fact. But at the same time, you know, there are police out there that are trigger happy. We had an instance here in my town that was like that. But the role was reversed, and no one talks about these type cases, but it was a black police officer shooting and killing a white, young white guy. So, like I said, not to get controversial, because I'm not going to take sides one way or another. I'm just one of these people that try to shed light and get people thinking whatever side they take. You know, I just think as a society, before we start accusing and, well, this is happening, you know, we're getting oppressed or whatever it might be, think about how we can change instead of causing all this riots and violence. And I mean, last night I saw a video of a group protesting in New York this weekend, and they were marching down the street, and somebody yells out, "What do we want?" And the whole group yells out, "Dead cops." And then they said, "When do we want it?" And the group yelled out, "Now." Well, that's not the way to solve issues, you know? So, in my opinion, you know, there's a lot of prejudice out there, but there's also prejudice that don't get brought to light. I remember being in college. The police officers in that town, like, if you were in college, they were on your ass. They didn't care about anybody else. They didn't care about the part of town that had a lot of crime in it. They were in the part of town where all the college students were sitting down in the parking lot by the bars, you know. I remember getting harassed by one police officer. I had given my keys to my friend, and, you know, I was pretty messed up drunk. And we were coming out in the parking lot, and he was going to take me home, and this police officer started harassing me, you know. I wasn't doing anything stupid. I was just following my friend. I wasn't acting a fool or anything like that, or, you know, I didn't say anything to the cop. He started harassing me, telling me that I was intoxicated. Well, no shit. You're sitting outside a bar. Number two, I gave my keys to my friend who hadn't been drinking, and he was taking me home. I was being responsible, and I was getting harassed. You know? And those things happen all the time. But, like I said, only we have tunnel vision in society, and we only try to look at one side, one different direction, or one direction, instead of the many things that go on today. So that's just food for thought for people out there, not to upset anybody. Or, like I said earlier, I'm not taking sides with anybody. I'm just throwing out things that you don't hear on the news, because they're just going to throw out anything they can to cause controversy and debate, you know? Same with politics. Any opportunity they have, they're going to throw out something that Obama did or something that the Congress did or whatever it might be, just to cause a bunch of ruckus, because that's ratings for them. Yeah, and that's what people don't realize when you watch. Yeah, that's what people don't realize when they watch CNN and Fox News and all those channels. They're trying to get viewers, so they're going to cover the most controversial things they can, you know? Like the whole Bill Cosby thing, you know? I don't know what to think about that, you know, because why all of a sudden are all these women coming out and saying that he did this, he did that from the 60s to the middle 80s? last time I checked, that was like 20 years, 25 years ago. If it was really that bad, and the way some of these women were interviewed, if it was that horrendous and scarred you and all that, why didn't you just come forth? If he did something horrific to you, it don't matter who they are. I don't care if, you know, they're the President of the United States, whoever it might be. If they did something horrific to you, violated you in any way, you come forth. You don't wait 20, 25 years, and then somebody comes forth, and then all the other women go, oh, yeah, I got something to say, too, you know? So, you know, it's kind of one of those things I don't know. I don't know who to believe in that kind of instance. But for the media, it's great. You know what I'm saying? So those are the craziness in our society going on right now. Oh, one other thing. You know the hackers that hacked into Sony? Did you know about that?
I hadn't heard about that. No, I hadn't heard about that. That's news to me.
All right. Well, I'm giving you some news. Sony Pictures got hacked in. They had their computer system hacked in. And Sony Pictures is about to release the movie The Interview. Have you seen the previews for that? It's got Seth Rogen. I can't remember the other guy's name, Matt something. But they're supposedly hired by our government to go do an interview with the Kim Jong-un or Jin Jong, whatever his name is, over in North Korea. And they're supposed to go interview him and assassinate him. And
I think I might have seen something about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it pissed off the North Koreans. Well, they don't really know who hacked into Sony. They hacked into execs' email account. In fact, the other day they were talking about some of the emails they came across where they were using real racial things, talking about Obama. You know, but these are private emails, so I mean, anybody's going to privately with their friends and relatives and whatnot, they're going to voice their opinion on whoever it might be. And they might say really bad things about that person, but that's private. You know, if they wanted it public, they would make it public. But today they said a new threat came out. These hackers said, you remember 9/11, any of you go to this movie is supposed to be released Christmas Day. They said if anybody goes to these movies that they're going to is going to be a 9/11 type attack. So I don't know, pretty crazy stuff.
Yeah,
all because of all because of a movie, and the movie's not even a serious movie; it's a freaking comedy. Come on. I mean, don't everybody out there remember spoofs? I can't remember if the Naked Gun had with Leslie Nielsen. I can't remember if he had Saddam Hussein in there or something. But I mean, they made fun of him, and you didn't see Saddam go, "I'm going over there and attack the United States because of that movie." You know? Come on, people! It's a freaking movie. I mean, God. For people out there that are foreigners that get mad because we're making fun of one of your leaders, go watch Saturday Night Live. We make fun of our own president on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
People, come on.
Yes, we do. Wow. And they really want to go back if you watch some of the In Living Color. You remember In Living Color back in the day? That was the hottest show.
Oh,
they
yeah.
Do some crazy show, like skits on that, too. So.
Well, that was back when all the, you know, there was a lot of people that are famous now that weren't famous then, like mm-hmm. Jim Carrey Brothers, you know, and they were all
on Jennifer
it,
Lopez
so,
was
and,
on there. She was a dancer.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was a dancer. She wasn't even a singer yet, but oh yeah, you know, but nutty. Now to kind of flip the script a little bit, I saw this article. And I don't know if people out there know this, that about the Ghost Adventures crew, but Nick Groff apparently left the show. He says he left on good terms, but I also know that him and Zach were kind of having a falling out. But I think another rumor I heard from people that have been on the show that are close with those guys. There's also a rumor going around that Ghost Adventures itself has been canceled. So,
well, I can see that. They've been doing a lot of, not only Zach on the show, talking about all these places they've been to and a lot of old footage. It kind of makes you wonder. And it's gotten to the point now, I just stopped watching the show altogether. It's the same crap, you know, just repeated shows over and over, just old.
Well, if you kind of noticed on revisit shows that they were doing, the only two that you saw was Zach and Aaron.
Aaron, yeah.
Zach was doing the interviewing and Aaron was filming, and that was it. So,
maybe it was, and maybe he just took it on a tripod.
But, you know, Nick does have his own project. He's the executive producer of the show Ghost Stalkers. So,
yeah, I love that show.
So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. They did their 10 episodes. Hopefully they'll get a full season now. You know, they always, new shows, they get so many episodes to see if they're going to be picked up by the network. So we'll see what happens with that show. But, you know, we said it many times earlier. I know when I first got on the radio that, you know, there's going to be a time where the paranormal shows are going to flood the market and people are going to get tired of watching them and they're going to fade out, you know. Even Ghost Hunters being on air for 2 years, their ratings have dropped tremendously over the last couple years.
That's true.
So people are getting tired of it. And the good news for the paranormal teams is maybe we won't have so many fly-by-night paranormal teams just popping up, you know, because they've been watching the television shows. You know, that kind of weeds that out and leaves the more serious investigators left. That's what we hope, in other words. But also going along with this is the article I read today was Zach is selling his Las Vegas home. And the Las Vegas home that people he's talked about on TV and actually showed on some of the episodes or whatever. He's got a dungeon or whatever in the basement of this place. And apparently, from what he says, that the house has a demonic force in it and that it's attacked him and it pushed, he calls it a lady friend. We all know better than that. But pushed a girl down his stairs. So he ended up packing up and moving. And he's finally decided to put it on the market. Well, the way this article reads, he talks about that it's got a demonic force still in the home, and he's putting it on the market. Now, for any paranormal investigator listening and out there, we all know, hey, if there's some kind of evil force in a home, especially since Zach moved out of it, why, if he's so concerned about people and helping people, why in the hell would you put it on the market to sell? Why would you not try to send, I mean, you're Zach Bagans. Hello, you know people in the paranormal community. You know Bishop Long. there's so many people you can contact to come into that house and see what they can do about fixing this issue.
Yeah.
Get the house fixed, cleansed, whatever it needs to happen, you know, have an exorcism on the house. Whatever you need to do, get rid of the problem before you try to sell it and
somebody else.
And then somebody else inherits this problem. That mm-hmm. doesn't sound like a very good paranormal investigator to me. I'm sorry. But it sounds to me like you're more worried about the money than you are about somebody's well-being if the case is what you say it is. Two,
yeah.
He says that the reason that this entity is here is because on one of his investigations, he found a skull, a human skull. And mm-hmm. the dumbass takes it home with him.
Oh, great.
Hello. Number one, yeah. Any paranormal investigator knows, don't take anything from a haunted location. It could have an attachment to it. You could piss a spirit off where they follow you to your home because you took something of theirs. You
mm-hmm.
don't do that kind of shit. And on top of that, he takes a freaking skull, a human skull, remains of someone, and puts it in a case in his house.
Oh, boy.
And then you wonder why you have no activity in your house, and you have, for a long time, one of the best paranormal shows, and when I say best, meaning most watched paranormal shows, on television, and your dumbass is doing shit that you tell clients not to do. Come on, man. Just like
crazy.
They do on football, for all you football fans out there that watch Fox Sports when they do the or it might be NFL Network. One of those shows, they do this little segment called Come On, Man, and they show stupid stuff that football players do. Well, here's my come on, man. Zach Bagans, come on, man.
Oh, boy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. That's almost like he's not doing what he's preaching. Don't do this, but I did it. It's okay.
And that's exactly why I brought it up, because that's nutty.
Yeah, that is very crazy.
And, of course, he bought the house for $395,000, and he's selling it for, like,
$497,000.
And you get a demon on top of that.
Wow.
And then all of you know that the same individual bought that demonic house over in Indiana, that was all over the news, where the police and the nurses at the hospital and everybody witnessed these demonic things happen. And then Zach Bagans went and bought the house. Yeah. Yeah. He owns that house. And it's got way more issues than the house that Zach lived in. Zach's not living in that new house. He bought it, and then he was going to shoot a documentary about it, and then there was a bunch of crazy-ass shit that supposedly happened during the shooting, and he had to stop filming because people in his he and his crew were getting hurt.
That's not good.
And then people want to think, man, these people on television, they really know what they're doing. No. Wrong.
They act like they do. And so it's like, wow. Okay.
Wrong. So those are just a few of the things that I kind of wanted to touch base with. Trying to figure out what else in my demented mind that I can talk about. Have you seen any more glowing red eyes?
No, I haven't. I haven't at all, thank goodness. I haven't seen it, but yeah, we have weird stuff. That's all I can say. We do definitely have some weird stuff going on. Like one night, I was sleeping in my bed, and I felt like somebody was watching me, and I had a hard time sleeping. I've been having that problem lately. I haven't been sleeping well. It's like I'm not going to the deep sleep that you need. I was laying in bed sleeping, and all of a sudden I got woke up because it felt like somebody bumped my bed sideways with their knees and bumped it to the point where I moved sideways in the bed so hard. And then the cats were looking at me like, what the hell? I said, yeah, what the hell, all right. And I've had it happen more than once to me. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I don't know who's doing it, but I think somebody's enjoying doing it.
Well, I had an interesting thing happen. When was that? Last Wednesday, I was feeling better. Got over my little stomach flu that I had. You know, on a couple online dating things, thingamajiggies.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Well, I'm not a bar person or, you know, I used to do that all the time, and meeting people there is just not the greatest environment. And so talked to this one girl, and she decided to come over, and I was going to cook her dinner or whatnot. And, you know, I told you before, my house has got a couple spirits in it, and they like to play jokes, those type of things. That's pretty much it. They're pretty harmless. Well, I say one does the joking. The other one is my great uncle. He just kind of hangs out here. I don't know. He never had kids of his own, and my dad was like his favorite nephew. And then, you know, some of my team members have abilities, and they make contact with him. So he kind of hangs out. But the other one came from a location, and hadn't had much experience with him here lately. I thought he'd kind of packed up shit because I've been doing the paranormal the last year. I've kind of taken a back seat for a while on investigating. But, yeah, I cooked dinner, and we were watching TV, and I have my Christmas tree and my outside Christmas lights all plugged into the same wall outlet. And my TV's on another wall out, but it all goes to one circuit on the breaker box. Well, I have never, in any of the years that I've lived here, my breaker tripped.
Okay.
Well, while we were watching TV, my breaker trips, and it knocks out the TV, the Christmas tree, and the outside light. My kitchen light's still on. The rest of the house still has power. It's just this one area where we were. I was like, what the hell? So I went in. Sure enough, the breaker had been tripped. Turn it back on. Of course, I have satellites. Then the damn satellite has to reload. So we're sitting here talking, waiting on the TV to reboot. It finally comes back on, and then bam, the breaker goes off again. I'm like, what the hell?
Somebody was not happy, or they were trying to set the mood for you. Either one.
No, they weren't trying to set the mood, and it happened three times. Well, after the third time, she goes, well, I guess I'm going to go, and she leaves.
Haven't heard from her since,
well,
have you?
We still talk a little bit, but, you know, it wasn't really much going on. But, here's the kicker. She leaves. So I turn everything back on, reset the breaker. Breaker doesn't do anything the rest of the time. And ever since then, I have not, every night, nothing has happened. It only tripped those three times that girl was here.
So the ghost is not like that girl.
I guess not. They didn't approve of her. I don't know.
You don't think it could be your ex-girlfriend saying, I don't think so.
That's who I think it is. But
that's what I think. Yeah, I think it's her. She's I don't think so. I don't like her.
I know, but I challenged her to do it the next night to prove to me that it was her, you know, because investigators, you know, I could chalk it up, well, something was going on, but, you know, scientifically, if there was something going on electrical that was tripping the breaker, then it would continue to trip the breaker until you found the source. You know what I'm saying? But
very true.
But it stopped after she left. It hasn't tripped since. So what is the scientific factor here? Why all of a sudden when she's not here is everything normal? And prior to her coming, I didn't trip the breaker at all. So, you know, I did say to my ex-girlfriend who passed away, for people who don't understand that, if it was you, tonight I want you to trip the breaker to tell me that it was you. Prove to me that that was you, and then I'll have confirmation. But, of course, nothing happened. And that happens a lot when we investigate, you know?
Yeah.
Something will happen, like a door will open. And we're like, how in the hell did that door open just right in front of us? And then you challenge, that spirit to do it again, and they won't do it. So. I don't know.
I think they just do it just to be like, huh, do I need to believe in, you know, do I need to prove myself to you? No, I don't. I just do it when I want to do it. Well, luckily that person didn't, whatever it is, didn't blow your TV, you know. Look at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now, it looks like I have a caller. So let's see who this is. Hello.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hi, pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's the first time listening to your guys' show. It's sound great so far. And I thought I'd call in with a question.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of very skeptical. But I have had a situation happen to me myself that scared the, you know, living, you know, what out of me at one time. And this was when I was about 16 years old. I woke up in the middle of the night. I look over at my TV, which is, you know, kind of next to my bed on a little entertainment station. And there was this, like, little troll-looking thing that tilted its head at me and winked at me. And it kind of had, like, the sharpest piercing teeth I've ever seen in my life. And I just remember screaming until I actually passed out. I'm not sure if that was just some sleep occurrence or what was going on, but it did scare the living, you know what, out of me. You ever heard of anything like that?
I saw a ghost show on that about the haunting. They said that those little creatures do exist, and they didn't give them a name or anything, but they do exist. They come out of your closet, and they come in. They're, like, in a different level, and they pop in and out, but then, you know, to our area kind of thing. But yeah, they have sharp teeth, and they're, like, they're not that tall. And they slink around on the floor, and they'll run really fast. And then, you know, it's really hard to kind of catch them.
Yeah, this thing was about, like, 2, maybe 3 feet tall.
Yeah, they're not that tall.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure if I was crazy or not, but it scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that would scare me, too.
And I'm 6 foot four.
That would scare me. Yeah. That's scary. Yeah, I've seen some crazy things in my life, too. And to the point where you're like, did I see that? Yeah, I did. I know I did.
Yeah. And my mother's actually, before, she's actually seen my my grandfather on my father's side, who died when he was 21. But this was, you know, probably 20, 30 years later. And I'm not sure if there's any coalition or any, I'm not sure. It's different.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I know in all my experiences in the paranormal, I pretty much, there's so much out there that we don't know that anybody that tells me a story, I don't think they're crazy, because anything is possible with some of the things that I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. I've seen some crazy stuff, like glowing eyeballs, to see things fly across the room, to see doors open. I see beds moving. I've seen all kinds of things. I've seen detergent fall off the shelf and just pour itself all over the floor with the top being unscrewed. Yeah, that's creepy.
Wow.
Yeah, I could write a book about crazy things I've seen throughout my life and what I've heard and everything. So. Have you had any problems with those little creatures lately? Or you just
recently, no, just that one time.
Okay.
And that was when I was living in Pennsylvania. I live in Connecticut now. I don't know if that means anything, but you know.
Because I have heard they do have a tendency to travel with you, but maybe they just liked that house and they just stayed there and didn't follow you.
Yeah, the house actually was on an old Indian reservation. I'm not sure if that means anything. Yeah.
Because the thing that I saw on TV was actually, it was actually an area where they would find arrowheads, and they claimed the Indians used to live on that land too, is where these little creatures were. They were somehow brought in, but the person had played with the Ouija board a lot too, is what they said on the show. So I don't know if they brought that in from the Ouija board or that being the Indians' ground kind of thing. But, yeah, he had two of them in his house, and he could not get rid of them.
Wow. On another
but
note,
if you don't
that
have
I
that
do
problem,
live in it. Sorry.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said on another note, now that I do live in Connecticut, I was just wondering your guys' thoughts on Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Her and her husband have done so much for the paranormal field. She's a great lady. I've talked to her before in an email when I needed some advice on a particular case. And from what I've heard from some of my other friends that, you know, live up in that area, and know her personally, they said she's a great woman. And, like I said, her and her husband have done a lot for the field. And that's where we are now. You know, I mean, her nephew, John Zaffis, you know, does a lot for the field as well.
Yeah, that's great. I actually had the opportunity to meet her one time. Go and see the Annabelle doll, the whole deal, but I chickened out, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I'm huge fans of the Warren.
Oh, great. Thanks, guys. You guys are doing a great job on your podcast, and thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Hey, not a problem.
All right, we'll do. Happy holidays, guys.
Happy holidays.
All right, you
too. Have a good new year.
All right.
Yep, I have heard of those creatures, and they're quite scary. I hope I never see one of those little creatures. That scares me. Just all that. Maybe it's like the haunting or something like that. They were talking about them. They have a name, and I forgot what the name was. But, yeah, they do exist. And they love to play tricks on you.
Yeah. You know.
And they have really sharp teeth.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. Might be something to look into.
That'd be kind of like one of those things. Do you really want to look into that? Because that's scary.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Our friend, his name has slipped my mind. The rabbi that was on our show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you today. And his birthday is today. And
Happy birthday.
It's also, happy Hanukkah, too.
Yeah, that's true. Happy Hanukkah. he was great to talk to. He was awesome. I loved his stories.
Oh, yeah, Howard on my Sunday show, Howard's like, man, dude, you got to get him on. I said, yeah, I'm going to wait till after the holidays and see if I can get him to come on my Sunday show and talk to Matt and Howard and myself. He was a great guest. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about the Jewish faith and Jewish folklore, and you know that was great. I'm glad that the caller called in, and you know, without me actually screening calls, you know, you just never know what kind of call you're going to get.
Yeah.
So it worked out. Do you remember? I don't remember if you were on air that night. I know Tasha was, and I know we had another female guest. I can't remember which one it was, but we had a gentleman call in that was kind of starting. He started out okay, and then he started talking about God and our faith and scriptures in the Bible, and he started making my guest feel uncomfortable and Tasha uncomfortable. I finally had to just hang him up. He poked his ugly head into my Sunday show, but he never made it to air. I don't mind people sharing their opinions on things, this, that, and other, but one thing I won't tolerate is people trying to push their religious beliefs on me. We all have our belief systems, and I'm not going to have someone push their belief systems on me and tell me that I'm thinking wrong, because just like the paranormal, in religion, there's no expert. I can promise you. There are people that think they're experts because they went to school, they studied, biblical things and philosophy and all this other stuff. But the bottom line is, when it comes to religion and faith, we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
We don't know for sure on anything. Everything in the Bible is not for sure, because it's an interpretation of an interpretation of interpretation. There are things in the Bible that are, there are things that were left out of the Bible. Several different chapters were left, because when they wrote the King James Version, they decided to leave a bunch out. And one guest that I had, we talked about that they're still finding new scriptures and finding things when they're digging up ruins and stuff. And so it's not set stone the certain way that we should be believing, just like all these terrorists that pushed their religious beliefs on us, saying that, you know, their God, you know, is the God and ours isn't, and this, that, and other. We don't know, people. We are not going to know until the day it's time for us to cross. Then we will know don't put your religious beliefs on me or my listeners, because you're not going to be on air very long. It is all up for your own interpretation, your own way you were brought up, the way you, you know, those kind of things. And it's just like politics. You can't push your political views on me because I'm going to think differently than you. So that's why we don't have a political show on my network. That's why we don't have a religious show on my network. Now, religion does play a role in paranormal investigation, and we talk about that, you know, and we'll talk about theories, you know. But
I still think that has to do with a lot of the ghosts that still hang around here. It's because they have preached them so much about, you know, living your life a certain way, and they're scared to cross over because they're scared that, you know, they're going to go to hell, or they're going to do, you know, they're going to get in trouble for the things they did in this life. So that's why they're still stuck here. And it's quite sad.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I've come across some spirits that were scared to go into the light because they were scared of judgment.
There is,
you know, and I've heard this from numerous psychics that one way or another find out through the spirit world that, you know, indeed you go through what they call, when you cross over, you go through what they call a life review. And not saying that that actually happened, but I've heard that from a lot of people. So I kind of tend to go towards that a little bit more because of so many people across the United States that have been on this show and talked about it, that, you know, we go through a life review, and basically it's a review of our life. And in the review, we don't see it from our eyes. We see how we act through everybody else's eyes. And it's kind of like God's way of showing, teaching us a lesson about what we chose, our path, you know, good or bad. It's, we kind of get a perspective on how we lived our life. And so, you know, that's one thing that I've heard that happens, you know, which none of us really want to go through a life review, because there are things in everybody's life where we did take the wrong decision and we pay the consequences for it, you know, and went through some hard times. And you don't really want to relive that again, but you're going to have to. But I think that's a way that God gets you to realize and accept everything that had happened, and for you to be at peace finally. Because I will say this, with the spirits that, not the earthbound spirits, for people out there that don't understand, earthbound spirits are spirits that really, they're on our plane as far as they're on earth. They haven't crossed over to heaven or hell. They're still here. I have come across spirits, including my ex-girlfriend who passed away. She actually crossed over into heaven but came back to communicate. That's like some of our loved ones when they come back to communicate with us or check up on us. They come from heaven or hell to check on us, right? And, of course, that really is controversial in itself, because there's a lot of people out there in religions that believe once you die, you go to heaven or hell, and there's no coming back. Well, I hate to tell you, but some of my investigations, have proven otherwise, that even over there, they do have a set of rules. There are things that they can't say or do a lot of the times, when they're communicating with us. But you're going to have the rule breakers. That's where you have the malevolent type spirits and things that to try to break the rules. But God still allows them to cross this plane into our world to check on us. and watch over us and guide us, and guardian angels come into effect and those type of things. So they still have the opportunity to communicate with us. It doesn't matter if they're in heaven or not. And that's one thing that, you know, like I was saying earlier about religion, that's one thing we're not really going to know. And not saying that what I just said is right. It's just my experiences and the things that I have learned through other people and doing this, this is the stuff that I've learned. Whether it's the truth, I don't know. But it dang sure I'm leaning towards it, because I've had so many repeated events that have happened or repeated conversations with complete strangers to me in the paranormal field that have these same experiences, that it kind of leans me towards it a little bit more and more, you know, saying that there's a lot of correlation here. When I can have a conversation with somebody on the radio show that lives up in New York City that's had the same kind of things happen to them, hello?
Yeah,
it's not
right.
Just me. So, but who knows? We don't know anything.
Yeah. But I believe it when you have a family member that comes to you and tells you stuff, you know, and it's no other way that I would know if he hadn't told me. So I believe him.
Oh, yeah. So that's pretty much my spiel for this evening. I don't really have too much other. And Melissa, do you have anything?
Well, I mean, we talked about the red eyes briefly. I mean, I haven't seen any more of that craziness going on, thank goodness. Yeah, it is scary. There's a lot of things out in the world that we don't know, you know, what's going on kind of thing, especially when bed starts moving in the middle of the night, something wakes you up. Yeah, it's scary. And you're not the only one that sees it. Your cat sees it too, so. Like, great. Learned all kinds of new things lately.
Well, you know, we had some guys from Savannah Paranormal Investigations Sunday, and right out the bat, their first investigation was a demonic case, and they're in Savannah, Georgia, and just like I've said repeatedly, I said it all depends on where you're located. A lot of the times, it depends on a lot of factors. The type of clients that call you, but people, you know, there are people that been on the show, whatnot. Well, I've been in the paranormal X amount of years, and I've never come across one of those type cases. Well, you know what? Count your blessings. That's a good thing for you.
That's a good thing.
But
yeah.
just because you personally have not had one of those investigations does not mean that tells you to tell everybody that demonic cases are they're few and far between. You know, you have no ground to stand on saying that, well, I've been in paranormal 25 years and I've only come across two demonic cases in 25 years. Well, that's good. That's good for you. Mm-hmm. But I can pretty much say over 10 cases I've been involved in that was some kind of demonic activity. So am I doing something different? No. It's the clients that call me. It's the path that I'm put on compared to other people. It just happens, you know, and it was kind of cool that these guys, and what, you know, I didn't know them from Adam, and they were telling me the story of their demonic encounter with this residential, and a lot of the stuff that they were talking about were the same things that happened in my case, the first residential that the team, that not my team, when I was just a young buck, and didn't know anything in the paranormal, I joined the team. So I wasn't found or any of that. But that was my first case. And they had similar things happen in their case that happened in mine. And they were down in Georgia, and the case that I had was up in Oklahoma. So there you go. You know, and so me and those guys kind of hit it off really well because we had something in common, something to talk about that we both had experience with. And we were both at the point in our paranormal career where we didn't know what the hell we were doing. We didn't know what we were dealing with, you know, until we started talking to other people in the field and we find out that indeed what we're dealing with is demonic. So, because a lot of times Matt, and I love Matt and I love Howard, and, you know, they're my skeptical guys sometimes, and they kind of give me some hell when I talk about a lot of my demonic type cases, you know. Well, do you really think it's demonic? Da, da, da. And I'm like, dude, I sat there and watched a teenage boy back start, scratches start appearing on his back. And like one of them said, well, he could have scratched himself prior. I said, no, dude, when I raised his shirt up, when he first slumped over, and he said his back was hurting, I raised his shirt up, and there was nothing. There was nothing on his back. Nothing. Just normal. I had my flashlight on him. And then all of a sudden he starts screaming. As he's screaming, scratches start going down his back. And I about fell over. Because it was like something you saw out of a Freddy Krueger movie where Freddy's, you know, fingers come up through somebody's body and starts ripping their skin up. I mean, that's pretty much what I saw, except my fingers coming up through there. But how does that happen? He wasn't leaned up against anything. He was sitting on the floor, slumped over, not in the middle of the room, nothing around him. I pull up the shirt, and then scratches start up here. Okay, wow. You scientifically tell me how that happened.
Yeah, so, that's scary.
Yeah. That's crap you see out of a movie, and I've seen stuff that will make you crap your pants. And thank God I don't have loose bowels, or I would have crapped my pants.
Damn. I never see anything like that. That is too scary.
No. And some people are like, well, I want to see one. I promise you,
no,
you
no.
don't. Because once you
bring
you do,
home.
Well, it's like this. Once you experience something like that, you can never shake it. You can never shake it out of your life. You can never shake it out of your head, try to forget it. Every now and then, I'll have times where I have flashbacks to my fellow investigator that got fully possessed and the things that that thing said to me, the looks it was giving me, the evil that I felt seeing her pupils turn from brown to solid black, just the gut-wrenching feeling I had in my stomach. I have flashbacks of that all the time. I could be sleeping and just go, bam, right back into that situation again. You know, and I have to try to wake myself up or whatever I do to try to get out of that situation. Because sometimes I think that that is that thing trying to get its way back into my life. You know, trying to find an invitation by getting me to think about it again.
Maybe.
You know, for the longest time, I had to shake its name. It told me its name. And I kept it, and I had that name in my head. And, it scared the hell out of me because the fact that I was scared, I would start to think about what had happened, and then that name would start popping in my head. I'm like, stop it. That some bitch is going to come. So, but luckily over time, I have forgotten the name. But the scary part about that whole situation is that son of a bitch is still in that cemetery.
Ouch.
Where we were at.
I've heard about that. You have to be really careful about cemeteries. I have heard that.
Well, we did our research. There was a satanic cult that had been going out there doing ceremonies. And there's a portal that's opened up out there. And this thing has free reign of that cemetery. And there's some spirits, human spirits, that torment it. And they get scared of it. And it's in one set. Well, it roams one other section, but the main section is where the portal is. And I haven't been back since that day that we had that possession happen. And, you know, I got some creepy-ass EVPs on my Paranormal Teens YouTube page, which I still have up. And there's a lot of creepy-ass demonic-type voices that we got on EVP. And these were, we posted them not knowing what this thing was. We just thought it was just a creepy-ass voice. You know, this was before all the stuff that happened. I mean, I had, over a year period, out of 12 team members, I had 6 scratched, all in the same part of the cemetery, all at different times. And, yeah, and then some of these voices that, you know, I go back and listen to them now, I'm like, oh, hell, that ain't a spirit, that's it talking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a video on there of me standing next to a headstone, and I had my EVP recorder and my K2 meter sitting on the headstone, and I was filming, and I was doing an EVP session. And in the video on the camera, I get an EVP that says, "Get off this grave." And it is a creepy bass voice. But, yeah, that was a cemetery that also, before I knew what was going on out there, and I'm pretty sure that what I communicated with during this period was this demonic force, but I was doing an EVP session, and I had my temp gauge, and I was pointing it out, and the base temperature outside that night was 35 degrees. It was cold. And I was asking questions. I said, if it's a yes, make it drop 1 degree. And it would do it. It would drop 1 degree. Then it would drop again. And it would never go back up. You know, if you're out in outside, temperature will fluctuate, especially if you got a little bit of a wind or whatnot. It might be 34, then go to 35, back down to 34, drop to 33. That's not what happened with this. And I got this on video, too. See, I'm sitting on so much crap over here on my hard drive that I've never put out there just because, you know, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
But if you watch the video, it drops 35, 34, 33. I talk it all the way down to 12 degrees. I never moved from the spot I'm standing. I mean, my legs were kind of shaking because I was trying not to move one bit. And I talked the temperature down from 35 to 12 degrees. When I was done talking, it went right back up to 35. Now, how in the hell can you talk to whoever you're talking to, ask them to drop the temperature 1 degree every time it's a yes? Now, granted, it took me about 35 minutes, but in 35 minutes, I got it to go from 35 down to 12.
Yeah, I think slowly. He's actually understanding you. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, pretty interesting stuff. One of these days I'm going to put it out there, even the video of me getting thrown out of that room. I mean, I wasn't lifted. It was more like a very violent push, a push that would push you about 20 feet. But it not only pushed me, it got 2 of my investigators as well. There was 3 of us that hit the floor. So anything that's anything that's powerful enough to push 3 solid people onto the floor out of a room, that takes a hell of a lot of energy.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's better to go. Yep. That is
scary.
Oh,
no. We had the paranormal Hitler. He was outside watching it on the DVR and saw it happen. He come running in and started hooping and hollering and screaming, trying to be like Zach Bagans, and started talking shit to it. And of course, we didn't know what we were dealing with. We didn't know it was a demon. We went back like a month later, and we knew that then when we went back the second time that it was a demonic force after the encounter we had the first time. But in the moment, of course, when we hit the floor, we knew we were doing something powerful. It wasn't just a peddly-ass ghost.
Yeah.
It was something that wanted to do harm to us. But he come in and started hollering and screaming, and F you this, this, that, and other. And then it dropped a shit bomb. You know, the whole damn bedroom smelled like rotten eggs and sulfur.
I have smelled that before at a friend's house. It's creepy.
Oh, I mean, this sulfur smell was so bad, my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my eyes were watering, and I was gagging.
Yep.
And, what was interesting about that encounter on my video, it's a long process. One of my friends, at one point, when it first happened, we thought he was getting possessed because his face was changing a little bit. He wasn't acting himself. We find out later he has abilities, and he was actually channeling. And at one point, he seemed kind of lean to the left, like somebody's whispering in his ear. And we were sitting in the living room, and on my recorder, you hear like this static noise, like some interference. And it's at the same time that he hears this voice, and he says to us, "Hey, we need to go to that bedroom." And I was like, "Why in the hell is he saying that?" And then right after that, Jeff says, "Something just touched me in the back." And we get a disembodied voice. It's not an EVP. We all heard it at that moment. You hear us all react to it. And we get it clear as day on our video camera. But we all hear it. It's vocal. We hear a woman's voice go, "No," and kind of push on my other investigator's back as if to react to what the other one said of, "Hey, let's go to the bedroom." Because we did find out through our investigation there was two spirits there, human spirits, that were trapped by this demonic force. They were there too. But it made a hell of a lot of sense when you put all the events together. He hears a voice that tells him to go to the back bedroom. Then one of the spirits there pushes on another investigator's back and says no, vocally, where everybody in the house hears it. And we don't take heed to the warning. We go down the hall into that bedroom, and about a minute and a half later, three of us are thrown out of that room. So what do you think that human spirit was telling us? Don't go down there. You're about to get your ass handed to you. Yep.
Yeah, warning you. Yep. So when you smell something like that, the sulfur smell, I mean, it's like a demonic person.
It could be malicious, but keep in mind this.
Mm-hmm.
I've come across malevolent human spirits that imitate demonic activity.
Okay.
They'll do things to make you think that it's a demonic force to scare you enough to get you the hell out. Because they know, okay, you're into the paranormal, and demonic is the worst of the worst when it comes to evil and harm. So if they portray themselves as a demonic type entity, then they're thinking that they can scare you enough to get you the hell out of that house.
Okay. Well, I don't go back there
people
anymore
will say,
at my ex-husband's house, so. So thankfully, I don't go there no more, but it was the first time I've ever smelled that before, and it was strong.
Now, not to go into anything personal about all that,
yeah,
but he had some anger issues, correct? That's about all I
know. Yeah, his whole
as
family
far as
did.
I'll go with
his
it.
Whole, yeah, his whole
okay.
family did.
Now,
I know that,
see, that can, yeah, and a lot of times in, I know of a couple cases, one in particular, where the husband was abusive to his wife, and we find that out later, you know, after getting to know the wife, because he didn't want us there. She called out and was having some crazy activity going on in the home, and he didn't want us there, you know, this, that, and another. Of course, then she called us back a second time when he was out of town, and that's when we found out all this. And he was very physically abusive and whatnot. And we find out that there was a demonic force there, and it was attached to him. And
wow.
him acting the way he abusive as he was, that was this thing pulling his strings. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
causing this turmoil in the household. So. Sometimes, not saying all the times, but sometimes those type of people like that have a tendency to have an attachment, have a demonic attachment to them, and that's why they're so evil in what they do. So there's lots of factors when it comes to the darker side of things, you know. For me, I can talk about it because I've experienced it so much on all these cases, and I've learned so much and studied so much that I'm not going to say I know what I'm talking about, but several demonologists and people that I've had on the show, I purposely got them on the show to talk to them about my experiences and see if I was on the right track with my thought process about them. And they all told me that I was on the right track. That I indeed, what I'm thinking is what's going on. So that's why I had to reach out to Tasha and tell her, you know, when she was going through all her stuff, hey, just call me up. I've helped a lot of clients, you know, and I can give you some advice on things that you can try to help your situation. That have worked on other cases. It is what it is.
There's some crazy things out there. Yeah, there's some crazy things out there. I've seen some crazy stuff. I've seen stuff fly across the room. I've seen a heavy mirror fall off the wall, bang into the wall, put a hole in the floor, but then never, never break the mirror, though. I've seen shadow people.
Yeah.
I've seen people that are solid. That look like everyday people, and then you realize when they walk through something, they're ghosts. I've seen that.
No. Right. But, yeah, the bottom line is I'll take a good-hearted, funny spirit any day of the week.
Especially when they leave you money.
Yeah. Well,
which I've had a ghost leave me money before.
I think we're right. But I think we'll go ahead and end the show a little early. We made it an hour and a half, so we did a good job for you and I. First BS session.
well, it's our second. We've done it before.
I
we've done it before.
Yeah, we're all right. I've done it many times. Trying to think of what I can play here. And like I said, for everybody out there, watch out for future posts about next week, possibly doing a Christmas special on our show on Tuesday, because I know Wednesday's Christmas Eve, and my family will be doing our Christmas we do it Christmas Eve, all the gift opening and all that. And then all we do on Christmas Day is, you know, eat and be lazy. So we're going to try to do a all URN Radio Network special Christmas special end of the year type deal. Man, I can't talk and scroll through songs at the same time. I get distracted. Well, I found
it.
Come on,
you can multitask.
And I lost it. There it is. Okay. So, anyway, stay tuned for that. Hopefully, Tasha will be back with us next week, and I'll get all the other crazy-ass people on our radio network to join us for a fun-filled, laughable special. It'll be a great time. I guarantee you will laugh, and you'll probably laugh a lot, because we will, and we'll probably be making fun of one another and whatnot.
Yeah, like I'll always
so
do.
It'll be a good time. Oh, yes. Oh,
good.
Yes.
Good show.
And,
good show.
Especially if I can get Miss Holly to come on, we'll talk about woodburgers. But other than that, great show tonight, and everybody tune in next Tuesday. On Sunday, we got I don't know the gentleman's name, I have to check out when I post it. I know that he's a stand-up comedian, but he also does spoofs on all the ghost hunting shows that are on television. And he's a very funny guy. Howard knows him, and so we're going to have lots of laughs next Sunday right here on the URN Radio Network. So tune in if you want to listen to a stand-up comic and him talking about his spoofs that he does about the ghost hunting shows. So, that should be fun. Other than that, everybody have a great night. Thanks, Melissa, for hanging out with me.
Sure.
And everybody have a good night.
And everybody have a good night now.
Night.
Night.